direct energy weapon attacks, biowarfare attacks, a fourth indictment on President Trump, locking up dissident voices. You think you can vote your way out of this? My friends, you are sadly mistaken. We are a country at war. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, you know the big news today, of course. A fourth criminal indictment dropped against Donald Trump on Monday night. This time courtesy of Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fannie Willis. Now, by scope, this is the most sweeping anti-Trump indictment, by far. It charges 18 people as criminal co-conspirators. It claims the existence of 30 unindicted co-conspirators. What is this indictment? Well, it's nothing less than this. It's an attempt to declare the entire effort to contest or question in any way, shape, or form the 2020 election to be a criminal conspiracy. And it aims to nullify whatever is left of America's constitutional rights in the process. That may sound dramatic, but it's not. The core criminal claim in this case is a supposed violation of Georgia's RICO law. RICO stands for Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations. It's a law created to charge the mafia, violent street gangs, other large criminal enterprises. So now Georgia is claiming that the Trump campaign was a criminal enterprise with Trump himself as its head. Here are some of the criminal acts alleged in this RICO allegation. Quote, on or about the 21st day of November 2020, Mark Meadows sent a text message to United States Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and stated, can you send me the number for the speaker and the leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Unquote. Yes. This indictment says that Mark Meadows asking for a phone number was evidence of a conspiracy. Here's another one. Quote, on or about the third day of December 2020, Donald Trump caused to be tweeted from the Twitter account at Real Donald Trump, Georgia hearings now on OANN. Amazing. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. Unquote. Yes. This indictment says that Donald Trump tweeting about watching a hearing on television was evidence of a criminal conspiracy. Here's some other things D.A. Willis cites as evidence of a criminal conspiracy. At one point, the Trump team asked someone to attend a hearing held by the Georgia House. At another point, Trump calls Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia to ask him to call a special session of the legislature. At another point, Rudy Giuliani asked for the public to call their legislators to urge them to support a special session to voting to retract Georgia's electoral certification. All of these are cited as criminal acts. That's the entirety of this criminal case. It takes every measure Trump attempted to contest the 2020 election and renders it into a crime. Alleging voter fraud? A crime. Asking lawmakers to investigate fraud? A crime. Calling for a special session of the legislature? A crime. Convening alternate elector slates in case he was able to overturn the result? A crime. Delivering a speech on January 6th? A crime. So no, we aren't kidding or being hyperbolic in any way when we call this an attempt to entirely overturn the Constitution of the United States. Our First Amendment, as everyone knows, guarantees freedom of speech. But it does more than that, too. It guarantees the right to freedom of assembly, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's almost the entirety of this indictment. It's Donald Trump petitioning the government to redress his grievances. He never offers a bribe. He never makes a violent threat. And most of his actions in this conspiracy were completely public. America declares countries dictatorships, bombs their capitals, and overthrows their governments for less than what has unfolded in this country over the last 6 months. This is a play to nullify the American Republic. It is a play to cancel all elections forever and make the Democrat junta the permanent rulers of America forever. This is the crisis that we are in. And this is not a crisis that'll be resolved in November of 2024. We are far past that point. The entire purpose of these indictments is to make the 2024 election as much of a sham as 2020. They carefully coordinated these four indictments to make sure that Trump and all of his associates spend the entire year in court unable to campaign. It's meant to make sure all of the money for the campaign is spent on legal fees while the left rigs election laws even worse than they did in 2020. We cannot wait this out. The coup is happening right now. And we need to be fighting the coup right now. You do not meet this threat by treating it as normal politics. No, there is no political solution. You have to meet it by treating it as the extra-legal coup d'etat that it is. And if your elected officials respond to this by asking for more money and your vote in 2024, they are defrauding you. This demands action, and it demands it right now. So if you live in Georgia, here's what you demand. A special session of the Georgia legislature immediately. Defund the Fulton County DA's office and remove Fannie Willis from power immediately. And if a judge tries to stop you, ignore them. Ignore them. In every other red state, here's what you demand. Cease all cooperation with the federal government on anything. Immediately. No cooperation on any law enforcement. No providing any requested federal data. Treat the Biden regime as, at best, an occupying power in a conquered land. Be defiant. And at the federal level, you demand the House must immediately stop all funding. I don't care how necessary it is. If it was necessary, the Biden regime shouldn't have declared war on the Republic. No more money for the DOJ, no more money for the Defense Department, absolutely not a single cent more for those corrupt scam artists in Ukraine. I mean a total blockade immediately. Not a single red cent for these parasites in Washington until these charges are dropped, the people responsible for them at the DOJ are removed from power, and we have serious reforms to make sure that this never happens again and American elections have actual integrity. Then be ready for what the deep state has planned. Because they indisputably will have something planned for what's next. It may very well involve mass arrests of Republicans, mass arrests of dissidents or Trump supporters. Remember, these people are looking for any excuse to overreach. Don't give it to them. Force them to be the ones who attack first, but be ready for it. And be ready to defend yourself and your family by any means necessary. And this is important. Always remember, the great heroes of America had to take huge personal risks for the liberty of this country. If you aren't willing to risk something too, then why would you deserve to inherit the country that they create? seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or go to goldco.com/Stu.
I'm going
to
fill this box here, and I'm going to try to replicate the indoor environment that most people face anywhere in the world today. The more energy efficient that we become, the more airtight that we make our houses, the more toxic it is for our environment. Our technology is vibrating the air at a rate of speed. Anything that is 0.001 microns or larger does not stand a chance in the presence of not only photocatalytic oxidation, but needlepoint negative ionization. We're sending out an ion wave that is going through walls, doors, floors, carpets, paddings, draperies, and it's synergistically vibrating the air, and it's going to drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance. Now, this is where you're going to come in. You can mop this matter, you can vacuum it, you can sweep it, but our technology is going to make sure that you're not continuously breathing this in.
Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/stu and use promo code StuPeters10 for 10% off your first jar. I gotta tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/stu. Again, newtopia.com/stu. So until last week, the deadliest fire in United States history was the Peshtigo fire more than 150 years ago. Well, now it's possible that we may have a new leader. The confirmed death toll in Maui from last week's fire has now surpassed 100 deaths, but hundreds are still missing. I mean, this could easily turn out to be a 9/11 level event out of nowhere. And what is Joe Biden's response? No comment.
Nothing there.
But why would he care, actually? I mean, the people of Maui don't give his son millions of dollars to spend on drugs and hookers. The people of Maui weren't oligarchs propping up the Biden family lifestyle. They weren't setting aside 10% of their incomes for the big guy, so of course Biden doesn't give a Chad Prather hosts the Chad Prather Show on Blaze TV. He made one of the better comments about Joe Biden's indifferent and probably the most accurate. Maybe Biden has no comment because he was just exhausted from signing so many checks to Ukraine. Chad joins us now. Chad, thank you so much for coming back. It's always a pleasure talking to you. So, I mean, first of all, no comment doesn't surprise us. But what is really the underlying most scary part of what you're seeing unfold on the island of Maui?
Well, first of all, Joe Biden has no comment because Joe Biden has no brain. Nobody told him what to say. He doesn't have any note cards. He doesn't have a teleprompter. There's no earpiece in his ear to give him the words that he needs. And he doesn't care. And that's the scary part. You know, Stu, I don't think it comes as any surprise to you or your audience to hear me say that I don't trust anything that has our government's fingerprints on it at this point, especially under this administration. When you look at this Maui fire, you know, you hate to take a tragedy. I mean, they don't believe that we think this way, but we really do hate to take a tragedy and this massive loss of life and property and to turn it into some kind of conspiracy. But, you know, this is the world we're living in. When you have a news media that tells you just enough information to whet your appetite and hopefully to kind of placate you into not asking questions, but they leave this massive vacuum. Well, there's no such thing as a vacuum in nature. Something rushes to fill it. And what rushes to fill it these days is our questions. So we're questioning what happened. How did the fire start? Why did this fire start? What's going on now? Why this weird response from the Biden administration? Why no comment? At bare minimum, if you're the leader of the free world and you're the president of the United States, you should at least be able to stand in front of the news media time and time again when asked and at least offer condolences in the face of this tragedy. He doesn't have the human decency to do that. So when I look at what's happening in Maui, what are we going to find? What's going to be uncovered? It might take us 10, 15, 20 years to really uncover the truth of what's happening. But you're right. I think this could be a 9/11, not only level tragedy, but a 9/11 level conspiracy.
Cover up, yes.
And it's scary to think about that.
Yeah. There's going to be Maui truthers in 10 or 15 years that are discredited by the mainstream press and these left-wing rags, the communist rags, really. So when you look at the fire and you look at what's happening and you see, you know, flames sweeping across pavement, like the cement is on fire. You see the ocean is on fire. You see that houses are burning down, but the trees around them are staying intact. And then you compare that to the effects of a direct energy weapon. I mean, of course, we have questions. How did this start? Who started this? And it was intentionally started. Don't give me this wildfire crap. I mean, this isn't a desert. There are no, you know, wildfire conditions. There's no drought happening in Maui. So all of the things that they try to gaslight us in the media with and then call us intentional names, like right out in the, you know, in advance, preemptively striking anybody who might want to ask questions, is pretty synonymous with what they're doing with the election. You ask questions about the election. If you ask questions about the moon landing, if you ask questions about, you know, what's happening in Ukraine with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, what's happening in Ukraine, period, right now? Why are we sending hundreds of billions of dollars there? Who's fighting there? Why are there Americans there? Any of these questions, immediately they get discredited. Why?
You know, Stu, I think the most dangerous thing you can do in 21st century America is ask questions. We should be able to do that. We should be able to voice our opinions. We should be able to have a beer and debate these things, discuss these things with the what ifs and what could have beens. There's an element of fun to that, historically speaking, to be able to debate these things and say, that's interesting. I haven't thought about it from that angle. These days, that kind of thing can literally get you arrested. It can get you banned, deplatformed, demonetized. You can lose your job, lose your career.
Lose your bank account, lose your ability to travel,
everything.
Lose your ability to stay in a VRBO, lose your ability to call a Uber.
Yeah. And so when I look at this and I go, well, hurricanes, they don't drop fire from the sky. Hawaii's been through a lot in its history. It is an island state that's out in the middle of the Pacific. They're accustomed to dealing with harsh conditions from time to time. The thing is an outcropping from a volcano. They understand wild conditions. Here's a situation that is awfully suspect. Why are none of the elite's property, you know, whether it's Oprah Winfrey, Jeff Bezos, any of these people that you can list off, their property is virtually untouched. I mean, not virtually, completely untouched. But yet these properties that have been contested for so long, where indigenous people and citizens have tried to hold on to these properties while the big conglomerates have tried to come in and take over, those properties are destroyed. It doesn't make sense. It certainly raises a question in my mind that I think should be asked when you say, what's going on? That's why I said earlier, it may take us 10 years, 15 years. When suddenly Maui starts to look like South Beach, Miami, we're going to know exactly what happened.
And when the people of South Beach, Miami are suddenly acquiring property in Maui and they're buying it up dirt cheap. I want to read something to you here. This is from Matt, XRP Patriot. I don't know what this is. Here's what he said. The amount of fatalities is expected to be more than 500, but less than 1,000. Many of the fatalities will be children who were at home because they canceled school. Parents worked and were not there to evacuate children. Kids had no idea that they needed to leave. And by the time they noticed their homes were burning down, you know, they're dead. Okay. And now it says this. The government is worried about how we will react when we learn that the fire department left the fire earlier in the day and claimed that it was 100% contained, knowing that the winds were expected to be 70 miles per hour by the afternoon. This is against all fire control protocols. The fire department should not have left the original fire unattended. They're scared that the public calls for accountability will be more than they can control and protests and riots will occur. They plan to lock down Lahaina for several months. It will take months to clean up the hazardous environmental contamination. They won't have enough housing for all of the displaced. There were 2,000 unaccounted for this morning. They have a list where they're trying to keep track. They found 700 today, but there are still 1,300 missing. This is the most important part here. I'm not trying to make waves or stir up problems, but I was so angry and sad when I found out how many children were dead and that I knew that I had to post this and let everyone know what I've learned. It's time for officials to stand up, tell the truth, and face the music. They failed. Our government is full of incompetent nepotism. The fire chief is the son of the former fire chief. We need to hold officials accountable for the mistakes that they made. Please don't hate the messenger. I'm just relaying what I learned today. They're worried that they're going to find out. Here, the emergency sirens were not activated. Hurricane sirens. And loss of life could have been kept down by better emergency management, which utterly failed. Did it utterly fail, or was this a blatant attack on innocent Hawaiians?
Well, when you start to look at what's emerging with this information based on the track record of our government disseminating information, it seems awfully a lot like this was something that was orchestrated. Hawaii has one of the largest emergency management systems and certainly storm sirens in the nation. They're absolutely critically dependent upon these types of alerts. And when you see that this didn't happen, it's disconcerting. Listen, I read that last night and just wanted to weep over it when you consider the loss of life, the tragic loss of life of children who are just helpless in this situation. And it makes you wonder how heartless if this is truly an orchestrated event and we discover that more and more of these questions can't be answered, how horrible is the society in which we're living and continuing to tolerate, Stu, that we continue to put up with these things? Because again, there's no value of human life at this stage in the game. The sanctity of life is gone. We've seen that over and over again. We saw it through the pandemic. We've seen it for the last 50 years in the abortion industry in America. There is no sanctity of human life. Listen, yesterday, the @POTUS account on Twitter or X or whatever they call it these days, he said he signed another $50 billion bill into, for climate change and to fight real climate change. I would say what happened in Maui was real climate change. It got really hot really fast and people died. But they're going to get $700 apiece, the citizens of Maui, in order to rebuild and recover from our federal government while we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine and then sign another $50 billion deal for climate change. I'm telling you, we are watching a cult operating in the federal government, and it's sad and it's tragic.
A satanic cult of death. And they murdered.
It really is.
You know, I've got to ask you this, Chad, because I respect your opinion. To what do you attribute this complacency and this apathy and this tolerance for biowarfare attacks and, murder and, just complete disregard for human life, and then the crushing and torturing and killing and imprisonment of innocent people? Anybody who is a dissident to this fake government, corporate murderous crime syndicate, to what do you attribute the backs of Americans not breaking?
Yeah. Well, the bigger umbrella, I think, is man's inhumanity to man. We've seen it for millennia of human history. We've seen it unfold consistently. When you give people absolute power, they're completely corrupted. You know, I've stated on my show numerous times that when you look at the rich and elite, they always want their private island. I think they're at a point now where they want the globe to be their private island, and they're okay to eliminate a large portion of us who are in the way of what their plans are. I think when we see things like this play out, it's disturbing that we are watching the face of evil. But I don't know why we're surprised, and I certainly don't know why we're so lethargic to sit back and continue to watch it unfold. It's got to change, or it will affect not only us, but our children and the next generations to come. America, as we know it for certain, is a thing of the past because of this evil.
Hmm. Yeah, and this isn't something that we're talking about in 20 years. I mean, I don't even know if we'll be here in 2 years. So when we talk about our kids and our grandkids, I mean, they're after them now. And they proudly say that they're after them now. We have to do whatever it takes to protect them. Final words.
We really do. And listen, they've turned us into some androgynous, homogenous, and bunch of androids. We've destroyed masculinity. Now they've destroyed femininity. They've confused the next generation. So God only knows without his grace what's going to happen.
I couldn't have said it better. Chad Prather, it's always a pleasure having you here. Check him out on The Blaze. He's the host of The Chad Prather Show. We want to have you back really soon. And, you know, it's difficult to talk about these things, honestly. It really is frustrating. I argue with Jesus about my anger on a regular basis. Really, I do. And, you know, about my forgiving spirit. That's difficult. It's a daily challenge. And I know that you're dealing with the same thing, because it's going to be you and I and people like us with platforms that are asking the questions that are going to be targeted. We're going to be targeted for virtual or digital or physical prisons, and, you know, trials. And we talked about Jenna Ellis being indicted, a fourth indictment for President Trump, 18 co-conspirators who questioned the results of the 2020 election when obvious fraud took place, and it's proven. And you don't even have to talk about how wide sweeping or what the magnitude of the fraud was. There are fraud events happening in our elections. And that should not be. And we should be allowed to question that. And we will continue to. And so I'll see you in the gulags. Chad Prather, thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu.
Really exciting stuff here. I'm just absolutely thrilled to introduce our brand new product that you can find at getigf1.com. If weight loss is your goal, I highly suggest that you start by adding our weight loss formula plus with berberine. The berberine weight loss product is an all-natural potent Chinese herb with numerous health benefits. Blood sugar control, anti-inflammatory, gut health. Berberine helps the body's cells to utilize sugar. What makes this product different is the purity of the berberine, plus it has IGF-1 derived from deer antler velvet. Now, obviously, AutoShip is the best way to get on a regimen to support your weight loss goals, because it'll take at least 90 days. You can cancel at any time. Again, cancel at any time, but go to getigf1.com for this weight loss formula plus with berberine. Plus, check out all of the other products available at getigf1.com. Again, that's getigf1.com.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax. Mass deception. America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. So here's a fun little fact that you won't hear widely reported about the Maui fires. The current police chief on Maui Island is a man called John Pelletier. So what job did he work before that one? Get this. He was the incident commander in charge of responding to the Mandalay Bay shooting in Las Vegas. Yeah, the deadliest shooting in United States history, the one that we'll have no motive for ever, the one which the entire press decided to collectively forget ever happened. Also, the shooting where a huge number of questions remain about police conduct and possible incompetence both before and after the shooting. So now the same guy has turned up on Maui. Is this supposed to be just a complete coincidence, especially given everything else weird about this fire, like the fact that a huge number of rich people own property right next to the developments, or the fact that this fire was supposedly originally contained by the fire department before suddenly blowing up into the worst United States fire in 150 years? The more they try to keep us from asking questions, the more questions that we will ask. Minnie Robinson is an independent journalist, libertarian, and host of Conspiracy Truths on America Happens, and she joins us now. This was an attack on innocent Hawaiians, and we are watching a movie, and Pelletier is an actor. Prove me wrong.
What are the chances the same incident commander for the Las Vegas shooting, where we had no answers to any of our questions, where the media dropped the story in 2 weeks, is also the guy in Maui, you know, bumbling things again? Now, when I did my documentary, I spent half a year. I read every police report, every FBI report. I watched all the body cam footage, listened to every 911 call. If this guy is the incident commander, there is no universe he didn't also see all the other people seeing gunmen and hearing different gunshots and seeing people with guns and helicopters. There's no way this guy doesn't know something's wrong with the official narrative. And yet here he is in Hawaii with no answers yet again. I mean, how many times is this supposed to happen?
Yeah. So what has he said as far as, you know, questions that have been asked of him about the Maui fire and how did it start and where did these winds come from and why didn't the sirens go off and why are so many kids dying? How come they weren't alerted? What is he saying?
If he's giving answers, I haven't seen them anywhere. First off, the few times I've been to Hawaii, I've heard the tsunami sirens go off. You know, I'm looking around at the natives and they're like, oh, well, they're just testing it. And they knew. So how did it not go off when they actually needed it? How did, like, I read some of the fire hydrants didn't have water. You know, people didn't even know anything was on fire until it came at their door. This is, like I always say, when it's bungled so bad, you got to think it's on purpose. And of course, they already had plans to move in and take the land and try to pass bills and take the land from the locals who refused to sell to the bigger corporations.
Yeah, yeah. There's Oprah Winfrey. Oh, you don't want to sell us your property? Everybody gets a do. Direct energy weapon for you. Direct energy weapon for you. Do. Blast, blast, blast. Now we can buy it really cheap. Yeah, how come it was that all of a sudden in the middle of the night, the counting stopped and the pipes were bursting? What a coincidence. How come it is that all of a sudden on the day that we really need these things, these worthless alarms, the state-of-the-art ones that on Maui are the best that the country has to offer, just suddenly they don't work? Why is it that all of the cameras that were supposed to be looking at Jeffrey Epstein just didn't work? And why is it that at the time that he hanged himself, all of the guards happened to be on their coffee break or diddling themselves in the office or doing whatever the hell they were doing to pretend they were doing something different than what they were actually doing, which was probably murdering him? You know, I mean, why is it that all of a sudden all of these things happen, but yet when we ask questions, we're immediately the ones that are targeted by the regime for the gulag?
Well, that kind of tells you what they're afraid of, isn't it? And what happened to the media? The media, the legacy media, is supposed to be asking questions about these. They're supposed to be digging it. Where's 2020? Where are all the shows that used to actually do journalistic work? They're all paid. They're all bought off. They did it during COVID. We've seen it during every catastrophe. They'll milk this. They'll get their climate tyranny out of it. And then they'll drop it when holes start showing through the story. They did it in Uvalde. They did it in the Las Vegas shooting. They did it in Boston bombing. They did it in the Oklahoma bombing. And yet every time it's the government covering up. Why would the government cover it up if they weren't behind it?
They did it on 9/11 as well. And by the way, if you look at some of these pictures, these burnt out cars with all of that soot all over them and all of that ash that covers them, it looks like 9/11. I mean, it's eerily reminiscent of 9/11. And then you look at the houses that were completely burned to the ground on these lots, carefully placed, you know, right in the midst of all of these trees, but the trees are still standing. Some jackwagon on Twitter said, yeah, you dumb do. It's because those trees were alive. They don't burn. They're too green. That's a really bad argument.
That's all the forest fires we've ever had.
Yeah, that's a really bad argument, bro. Go to a rabid forest fire. You know, this is burning savagely across, you know, Southern California like we get every year. And go point out all the live trees. It's only the dead ones that burn. No, what happened here is this was a targeted attack. And now all we have to do is figure out who did it. But if I'm looking at China or I'm looking at Russia and I'm looking at the United States government, that corporate crime syndicate from right here in this country is the number one suspect every single time. We are the most corrupt, most murderous regime on the face of the planet. And that's been proven time and time again. You're going to get answers if anybody will, and you'll be back when you do. Minnie Robinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by Earth Echo Foods and their superfood product, Cacao Bliss. Cacao Bliss starts with 100% organic rare cacao beans and also contains turmeric, MCT oil, cinnamon, and Himalayan salt. These ingredients were carefully chosen to support health, longevity, healthy weight, and even your happiness. You'll fall in love with a truly guilt-free chocolate, help reduce your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, and combat inflammation with one delicious drink. It's gluten-free, by the way, also paleo, keto, and vegetarian diet friendly. You can receive an additional 15% off when you visit earthechofoods.com/stew and use discount code STEW.
The pandemic changed our world forever. Lies, murder, and heartless profiteering destroyed the sacred trust between a family and professionals in medicine. It also opened the door for true heroes to step up and restore confidence so we can handle anything the enemy throws at us. The Wellness Company has the solution, a protocol to ensure you are never tricked again. Get a medical emergency kit today. It includes life-saving ivermectin, a 12-tablet Z-Pack, and a comprehensive guide personally prepared by the Wellness Company's chief medical board on how to use this arc of healing. For under $300, you can secure your own pandemic protocol today. Store it away. Pay with your HSA. Go to pandemicprotocol.com right now to get your ultimate kit to win the fight against bronchitis, colitis, and even a bioweapon plague. Peace of mind for the unexpected. PandemicProtocol.com.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com. So you won't hear the truth about what's happening in South Africa from the New York Times. You won't hear it on CNN or on Fox News, or even from most Republican lawmakers in this country. The fate of South Africa is too much of a third rail. It exposes too many of the lies that the empire of lies is built on. For example, the lie that affirmative action and reverse discrimination are the foundations of economic prosperity. The lie that the world can be neatly divided into evil white racists and then everybody else. The lie that white people are the root of all evil in the world. The lie that Nelson Mandela was a hero. The lie that our leaders are experts who know what they're doing rather than revolting pigs guided only by hate and grievance. The lie that our leaders are capable of building anything successful when in fact they can't even maintain the great things of the past that they inherited from prior generations. Shocker. The empire of lies depends on lies. Its propaganda outlets and fake opposition media push lies too. Well, we won't push lies here. And here's the truth. South Africa's government is built on a gradual genocide of the remaining white population in South Africa. A gradual genocide that could become a far more fast-paced one at any moment. Bit by bit, the South African government seizes white-owned farms and devours white-owned businesses. One by one, isolated rural whites are targeted by mobs and brutally tortured and then murdered. Dozens of them every year. And this will continue. Until finally, whites are purged from the South African countryside. Then, when that unsurprisingly makes things worse instead of better, the hatred will focus on whoever's left in the cities. Already, they have to live in fortress-like communities with full-time armed security. How long will that situation be able to last? Well, our next guest has to remain anonymous because speaking out too loudly about South Africa makes one a target for the violent mobs. So with us, he'll be using the pseudonym of Alan Temple. Alan has done extensive research into what's driving this violent genocidal rhetoric against whites in his country. And he says it's not just native to South Africa. Much of it is coming from abroad. And surprise, surprise, it's being pushed by George Soros and his vast web of organizations. In fact, it's a little known fact today, but Soros's very first act of philanthropy back in 1979 was funding college scholarships for Black South Africans under apartheid. Throughout the 70s and 80s, Soros was a great admirer and supporter of the South African Communist Party and its famous leader, Nelson Mandela. Even today, Soros's foundation spends millions of dollars in South Africa every year. But it's not just that. His organizations like the Open Society Foundation see South Africa's violent revolutionary communism as a model that can be exported worldwide. Those famous Soros prosecutors who are turning American cities into racial war zones, that's straight out of South Africa. We want to hear more about that, of course. To that end, Alan Temple joins us now with more. Alan, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate your bravery.
Hey, Stu. Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I really appreciate that you're covering the subject because I think it's very, very important.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a genocide happening there, and it's coming here soon. What do you know about Soros and his connection to what's happening in South Africa, to these Boers, and then what's going to happen here in similar fashion?
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to lay out a town. So hold Soweto, S-O-W-E-T-O, Soweto, South Africa, in your mind as a central node. Okay. And I'm going to talk to you about George Soros and his connection to Soweto, the Contra Costa and Alameda County district attorneys, the network of churches through liberation theology, the South African Communist Party, and how they're viewing being anti-communism as equating that to white supremacy. So I want to bring you in to interconnect some dots here for you. And so the audience can understand the broader picture here.
Yeah, please.
So, all right. So first and foremost, it's important to understand that Nelson Mandela was a member of the South African Communist Party. And he was also, he was in the Central Committee. Okay. He's the one that developed the M plan. That's important to understand. So we knew that back in 1990. And in 1990, he came and visited Oakland, California. And at that time, the FBI ascertained that the Communist Party USA were the ones that were facilitating that trip under the name the Northern California Reception Committee. Okay. And now, Nelson Mandela had military and intelligence support coming from two primary sources, Russia and China. So Russia and China were the ones that were providing him intelligence and military support. So when you look at the ANC and Nelson Mandela, just know that his forces were trained by both China and Russia. Okay, I'm just giving you some background so mm-hmm. we can move backwards and then move forwards. He's on video singing songs about killing whites, the Amabula. Okay, going all the way back to the early 1970s, late 1970s, or early 1980s, the World Economic Forum chairman, Klaus Schwab, was involved with him. Going back to the late 1979, early 1980s, Soros is in Soweto where he started his political philanthropy. And at that point, I want to just pause a little bit and say that Soros does not act in isolation. He is not acting unilaterally. He's used primarily when government-funded programs are unwelcome. So that's when they'll use private funders. Otherwise, they'll use other groups. Say, for example, the National Endowment for Democracy, the State Department, or the USAID. But he's working in conjunction with a larger apparatus. That's the point that I want to make there. So going back to George Soros in Soweto, again, his political philanthropy started in Soweto. And that's when the Communist Party was waging the revolution along racial lines against the apartheid. And at this point, I want to make something clear that collaborators or anybody that would be tried to be used as the peacemaker, the Communist Party had a way of dealing with those people. It was called necklacing. And that's something that Winnie Mandela was a big proponent of. That's where they put the tire on them and use the petrol and burn them alive. And so that's how they enforce a racial war that they're running, and don't let anybody actually be a peacemaker or collaborate. That's important to understand because I would expect them to try to do something like that in the future. So that's the past. Bringing it all the way to the present, you have Julius Malema filling up a stadium full of EFF, which are the Communist Party singing songs about killing the Boer. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's made international headlines. But Julius Malema, I just want to draw your attention to the red beret and the red coloring. Red is what indicates affiliation to the EFF in South Africa. He's also on video singing, giving speeches about cutting the throat of whiteness and how to do that. And that's important to say that that's where he's coming from. That's what he wants to do. That is the ideology. And to show affiliation with that is this red coloring. And you'll see in their flags where they talk about how the honeymoon is over. And now let's bring this back to Oakland. And you will see the same coloring, the same flags, and the same messaging in Oakland. And that's what's very, very disconcerting. In fact, you'll see the same outward political affiliation with the district attorneys in while they're giving speeches, you wearing the same Julius Malema EFF garb, full red beret, full red clothing, and you could show that. So how does this work? Where's this connection? And what's happening here is the mechanism by which they're connected is through their churches. And in order to understand that, you have to understand how they're working Black liberation theology or liberation theology. Because this is a perversion of the gospel by which you're saved, and it is developed it is something that is developed by communists, and so it takes Jesus and makes him a revolutionary figure, and makes salvation the overthrowing of the oppressor. Okay, so you're going to see a network of churches in East Oakland that are connected back into Soweto, and all of them are promoting this messaging, this liberation theology messaging.
And let's be clear, they're doing this with knowledge. I mean, they're doing this with a forethought. They're doing this knowing exactly what it is that they're supporting and jumping in line with?
Yes. Yes. So there's very much a connection. There's very much a connection. And
where is this evidenced? I mean, obviously, those are tall claims. So, I mean, obviously, where's the evidence for that? We're going to want to see.
So the evidence for that is you're going to see it in their affiliation of their coloring and the messaging. The messaging is identical and the coloring is identical. And then the district attorneys are attached back into these churches. I understand that's a tall claim. But when you look at how they're showing their outward affiliation, and you're looking at the political messaging, it's identical. What's the difference is that the messaging is further rolled out in South Africa than it is here. So if it's a book, they're on page 150 in South Africa, and we're only on page 50 here. Mm-hmm. So they're not showing
what's happening in South Africa right now with the violent mobs targeting white farmers as Boers, and then torturing them, and then murdering them, and then with their blood writing on the walls, white devil. This is going to start here in this country, and it's going to start, your prediction, or evidenced by, you know, what you're bringing here in Oakland. Is that right?
I'm not. What I'm saying to you is the ideology is the same. And so you're not going to see exactly the same manifestation because the ground conditions are not identical. But you will see a situation with American characteristics. You're going to see this happening because it's the same political ideology, it's the same religious ideology, it's the same racial ideology, and these infrastructures are connected. There's communication between them. The same, you're going to see a variant of the same techniques, tactics, and procedures that they're using there, that they're using here. Let me give you an example. So they are going ahead of the legal system and doing what's called land occupation. That's what you're describing. You're describing what they call, in the EFF, called land occupation. So they're saying they want that land back. They're going to go ahead of the law, and they're going to begin to occupy the land, and they squat on the land. and they begin to persecute the landowners. That's what you're describing. What I'm describing here is how that will manifest itself here. The ideology is the same, but they're going to say, all right, so and this is where it gets dangerous, and we're skipping a little bit ahead. I'm going to get to where you're going with to your question, but what it is there's an ideological argument, a communist argument, that the community has been disenfranchised from, say, for example, home loans, suburban home loans, and property. So they're going to expropriate property. So and they're going to look to expropriate reparations, and they're going to look to expropriate real estate. So this is what's going to be rolled out very shortly, and they're already starting the process of it. And that's what you're seeing in the reparations argument. So that is the connection there.
Reparations, by the way, means seizing the property or the assets or the liquid assets or the money or the children of white people, and then doling that out and redistributing it to people who have done nothing to earn it based solely on the color of their skin.
Yes. So what we're talking about is expropriation without compensation. That's how it's laid out in South Africa. They're not saying that in the open here, but the infrastructure is the same. They're going to slowly roll that out. And that's what that is part of the idea. So that's in theology, and that's in the ideology. So I want to walk you back, though, and I want to go back to Soweto and talk about why that's important.
Yeah.
It to kind of further build out what I'm saying to you, because in Soweto is where they went underground, where the Communist Party went underground and started to their infrastructure started to utilize the churches and other clandestine locations to organize their activities in secret. So Soweto is a very important town when it comes to developing their structure to operate underground and in the churches. That's the point that I wanted to make there. Also, you have a merger of communism with the church and the gospel of the liberation of the oppressed. That's a very important thing, because that's where you're going to find this. So you're going to find in South Africa, they had many clerics that were at the head of the ANC. The ANC, we know, is a communist organization.
Are these big churches in Oakland? Are these, and are there more of these churches? Is there a network of these churches across the country?
Yes, there is. There is. And what I'm trying to explain to you right now is the same individuals that were in South Africa in these churches preaching this liberation theology while it was underground and while they were members of the ANC, they are same individuals that are now preaching from the pulpits in Oakland. They're not different. They're the same people. So, that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is the relationship and the connection is absolutely established.
Okay. And so why should the viewer care about what you're saying? How does this make a difference in the lives of people who are having conversations about South Africa at their dinner tables and worrying that this is going to happen here?
Because it's closer than they think. And so what I want to lay out here is that what's going on in South Africa and what you see in South Africa is closer here, because it's closer to them than they would think. So we have now, our district attorneys are the highest office in the legal system in our counties. And these specific individuals are at a minimum close to and associated with the same ideology and the same theology that's coming directly out of South Africa. And you can see the fruit of it there. And I'm telling you, it's close to us here.
And we've seen some of the fruit of it here already. When a white person, a normal law-abiding, ordinary white male or cop, for example, goes to defend themselves or to defend the public or to defend their children or their life or their liberty or their property from assault, great bodily harm, death, destruction, that person, the attacker, the criminal, is let off. I mean, they basically can do this with impunity, whether it's raping or robbing or looting or arson, burning. They can do this with impunity, whereas the person, take the McCloskeys, for example, in Missouri, or, you know, you take Kyle Rittenhouse, for example, or Darren Wilson, the cop, in Missouri as well, or George Floyd, versus Derek Chauvin and Tu Tao. You take the situations and apply them all over the place. We're already seeing this come to fruition at this point. And that's because these district attorneys, in many cases funded by and installed by George Soros, that network of them is expanding.
Yes, and I want to say something on that point. It's not only that the individual that's defending themselves, their person, their private property, et cetera, but it's the police. Because what will happen is the police are totally and completely demoralized because they do not want to get themselves in a position where they're at risk because the DA will go after the police.
That's right.
So what you're seeing is you're seeing that the police are getting basically pushed out by the most violent elements in Oakland. There's videos, you can watch them, of the police getting chased out of a sideshow, basically bumped out because they're afraid to engage. They don't have any top cover. They don't have the highest legal office in the county is against them, not for them. So you have a situation where the sheriff's office won't even talk to the DAs. They're not even on speaking terms because of the DAs are in place and they are systematically purging their own office of any resistance to them. And then at the same time, they're using their infrastructure to go after the law enforcement. So what this creates is a situation of utter lawlessness.
Yeah, the absence of the rule of law. Yeah, the absence of the rule of law. It is a required ingredient in the recipe for authoritarianism.
Yeah, for certain. And I want to just keep going here. And when we start talking about, let me give you an idea of what they mean, liberation theology with repentance. So this becomes like the theological underpinning for the land occupation that you're seeing in South Africa. So this same pastor that you're seeing in South Africa in the ANC, and then you'll see him in Oakland. Okay, so same pastor, same person. You're going to see him say, this is a direct quote from him. The Bible says we must ask for the land back. Repentance is an action through which I show my willingness to give back to and restore that which I have taken or stolen away. The land for me is central to our process of reconciliation. And unless we talk honestly and act to get the land back, we must forget about reconciliation in this country. He's saying that from South Africa. The point is that ideology is here. So that's important because they're talking about the way this works is they let the EFF and their militia loose on the landowners ahead of the law enforcement. And then they withdraw any prosecution. And then if the landowners or farmers defend themselves, then they have a stiff arm of prosecution against them. So that is the structure, that is the template. And that same structure and that same template that you see in South Africa is here.
And we're talking about the same exact group of people, not people like them. We're talking about the exact same people.
I'm not saying similar people in this particular case. I'm saying the specific same individuals. They're in South Africa and in Oakland. They're not similar. There's not a distance. It's a very close relationship from very specific pulpits. Okay, so, and these pulpits are directly connected to the district attorneys.
Ellen, I just want to let you know, because I'm not going to interrupt you anymore, but I just want to let you know that we have 4 minutes before I have to go to a hard break. So I know that's right, a tall task, but let's hear it.
Okay, I appreciate it. I need to get this out. Why am I stressing the churches? Why am I stressing that? Because when you're dealing with, and I talked about Christianized Marxism, I talked about that, but I'm going to talk to you about something else. The IRS code does not require churches to file form 990s, I believe it is, where they must disclose their donors and they must disclose the amount that they're donated to. So it's a total financial black hole. I'm not going to make the assertion that they are doing this, but I'm going to tell you if they were, this is how it would be done. They could funnel an unlimited amount of money through the churches, network of churches, and they would not have to disclose it. That's why I'm stressing that, among other reasons. Okay. You can see that a picture that speaks a thousand words is when Pope Francis was surprised by the hammer and sickle crucifix that was presented to him in Latin America. People can look that up. So you're looking at a merger of Marxist-Leninist doctrine with theology. So that's very key to understand. And that's something that I want to just make sure. And in these pastors, they're promoting a black power gospel, and they're saying that to be anti-communism is white supremacy. That's almost a direct quote from James Baldwin. And another black power theologian you could look at would be James Cone. And that's who these pastors will recommend to you as recommendations on how to decolonize your mind. So this is what they're preaching in their churches. And it's very important to understand that.
Before we go, I just got to ask you, because the audience is going to want to know, what makes you qualified to speak on this, and where are you getting your information from?
I'm observing it in open source. And what makes me qualified is I have a background in evaluating events like this. I used to be in the military. And so I'm used to looking at current events and trends and clandestine organizations and how they function.
So what specifically do you predict happening here?
I think that we're going to see an escalation in violence along racial lines. I think that the collaborators or anybody trying to make peace is going to get persecuted on both sides, or definitely on their side. I think that you're going to see the law enforcement continue to undergo this radical transformation if it's not dealt with. And the reason I believe this is timely is because we have an opportunity to recall some of these district attorneys, because the ground conditions in their cities is so deplorable that the people that supported them on the front end are now realizing that they've made a drastic mistake. And so if left unchecked, you will see an increase in violence, not a decrease. And you will see an increase towards destability, not an increase towards stability. And it is definitely going that direction.
And you're going to see them pick off leaders as well. You're going to see them come after people who, if you watch the Rolling Stone and the New York Times and the Daily Beast and the USA Today, Media Matters, of course, George Soros's baby. If you read these articles, you will see them coin powerful people as white supremacists.
Yeah,
there's a reason for that.
Yes, that is extremely important, because I want to just stress the point that according to these people, they define anti-communist as white supremacy. And let me give you that. So there's an author, Gerald Horn, who wrote a book called White Supremacy Confronted: U.S. Imperialism and Anti-Communism versus the Liberation of South Africa and Rhodes to Mandela. That's number one. That would be my first source in that. The second source would be The Mock Revolution at Mossini, okay, from Denise Lynn. And there she's saying the American fear, listen to what she says about it. The civil rights goals are reduced to a communist plot to restrict rights of white people, when the reality is that they threaten white supremacy. So they're equating being against communism with white supremacy. And I'll give you one more from James Baldwin. The people are running around throwing people in jail, and the people that are running around throwing people in jail and ruining reputations and screaming about communists wouldn't know one if one fell from the ceiling and wouldn't care. What they are concerned about is propping up somehow the doctrine of white supremacy. So that's three, and you can go many, many more. And it's extremely important, because now the Homeland Security is saying the greatest threat to the nation is white supremacy. And then, you know, the average person looks at themselves in the mirror and they say, I'm not a white supremacist. But their definition is, if you're anti-communist, you are white supremacist. So that was a point I wanted to make there.
You made it very well. And you know, I wish we had all day with you. This stuff is incredibly dangerous for our country. It's incredibly dangerous for individuals, for families who just want to live their lives, who do look at themselves in the mirror and not just claim that they're not a white supremacist, but but in their soul, in their gut, with every fiber of their being, they know they're not a white supremacist. But these people are radicalizing normal people, and they're doing that intentionally. You see, this is a psychological operation. They position you to where you have to be radically opposed to the regime, to the federal government, so that they can identify you as being anti-communist, thereby a white supremacist, and you must be eradicated. More of the Stu Peter Show continues next. At some point, we've all been sold a big lie, including yours truly. It's called the protein lie. Starting in the 1980s, supplement companies began pushing massive protein consumption. We all believed that more protein equaled more muscle growth. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie. No surprise. Let's say that you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 40 grams of protein. However, just because something contains 40 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. No, without enzymes, most of it ends up in your toilet bowl. So if you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial that you take a high-quality enzyme. The one that I trust and use myself is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more proteins than any other commercially available, with 5 different kinds of proteins. You can try it today, risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. When you go to bioptimizers.com/stew, be sure to enter the coupon code STEWPETERS10 to get an extra 10% off of your order at bioptimizers.com/stew.
Hey, America, Dr. Stella Emmanuel here. One of the things I will put together is what I call the Pandemic Preparedness Pack. It has 5 essential things in it. Number one, it has Covivite. Covivite has vitamin C, D, zinc, and quercetin. We have Covilite. Covilite gives you energy. It helps you with hydration. It also gives you mental clarity, the brain fog, and antioxidants. We actually use this as part of our Vax Detox combo. Then we have Viramune Plus. Viramune Plus can build your immunity. It has elderberry, bilberry, echinacea, ECGC. It has proteases and peptides. Then we have Covidine. Covidine is potassium iodide. If we get nuked, you're going to need potassium iodide to protect your thyroid from absorbing radiation. The last thing we have is Fox Defense. Fox Defense is an old Indian remedy that has Sarracenia purpura or pitcher plant. And it used to be work against smallpox, and it can help you against all the pox viruses to build your immunity.
Use the promo code STU for big discounts when they go to drstellamd.com. Yes. Use that promo code STU. It saved me a ton of cash, and it'll save you as well. We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or go to goldco.com/stew.